Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Christ Central Presbyterian Church. You might have noticed that was not John that walked across and came in this morning. I've been pushing John to take some time off, particularly before Advent, and he at least found a way to do that today, and he's already scheduled a couple of days off in December or early January as well. So glad for him because he needs the break. But anyway, have Mike Thornhill with us today. You might remember Mike. I would tell you when he was here, but neither of us could remember. But it was somewhere around January or February, if you remember when he preached for us last. Mike was here. But he is a candidate for ministry in our presbytery, and he attends church over in St. Pete. A couple other announcements that I'd like to throw out there. I mentioned this last week. Lisa's looking for a couple more families or even individuals that she can put on the list of people who will greet others as they come into the sanctuary prior to worship. Hopefully you got a good greeting. I noticed it was Brian this morning, so I'm sure you did. But anyway, we're looking for other greeters, people that we can put on the list. So sign up to do that. It's great to, you get to know people a little bit better. You can smile for them a little bit and things like that. So do that. The congregational prayer meeting is tonight, meeting in the lobby at 5:30. We had an announcement in there earlier about a women's conference with the Southwest Florida Presbytery. It's down at Redeemer in Riverview. And last I checked, there was a way to sign up for it or at least get information for it on the welcome desk. I believe that's still there. So any ladies who are interested in that, go find that information. And the Fall Fellowship is scheduled for 2 weeks from tonight. And so we would like for people to sign up and RSVP to be part of the Fall Fellowship. You can do that on the connection card and just put it in the offertory plate when that comes by, or you can email the church and tell them that you want to RSVP for the Fall Fellowship. We also have some spots in there that we're trying to get filled for volunteers, so pay attention to that and see if there's something that you'd like to step up and do, and do it. It's good to serve the church. It's good to have these opportunities. You will get another chance next week to RSVP, but that's it. And then the event is 2 weeks from now. So I mentioned the fellowship card. If you're new with us or you're unfamiliar, we have the cards in the chair back in front of you. We'd love to have record of your attendance if you're a visitor or somebody new with us. And anybody who's a regular attender or a member, we'd love to have prayer requests because the staff in this session will be praying for you if you put that on there. And again, during the service, when the offertory plate comes by, you can put the connection card in there. But we've come to worship, so if you would take your phone or anything that makes noise and put it in the mute or vibrate mode, let's set our hearts right. Let's prepare ourselves to come before this great God who we've come to worship. And we'll have his word call us to worship. So if you would stand now and take your bulletin, we will have this responsive reading to have God's word call us to worship. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Let's do that now in song. If you would take your hymnals, remain standing, and turn to hymn number 116. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. pray with me. Father, you are truly worthy of our worship. I pray that we would worship you in awe of you and in thankfulness for you. God, I pray that our worship will truly be a sacrifice of love, a sacrifice of praise, as we just sang. We pray that you'll be present with us, God, and set our hearts right. Help us to worship you and let it be a pleasing aroma to you. So we ask again for your presence with us, both to be the energy behind our worship as well as the focus and object of our worship. So God, be pleased with what we do this hour, and may you bless us as a result, as you've promised to do. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Interestingly enough, our first scripture lesson is going to be Genesis 22, and Mike is going to finish the series on Abraham that John started a while ago. So hear now God's word from Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. The word of the Lord. We come now to a time of confession of our sins. I will lead us. We'll pray silently, and then we'll close corporately with the prayer that is printed in your bulletin. Let's pray. Father, we can think of so many little things that we wouldn't be willing to sacrifice.
Yet you show us this model of Abraham willing to sacrifice his son, and you sacrificed your only son. We hold on to so many little things, not willing to give you the lordship that you deserve, making idols of so many things in our lives. So I pray, God, that we'll see that you'll open our eyes to the idols that we've placed before you and help us to rid ourselves of that. Help us to hate the sin that we have, to rid ourselves of it. And God, would you hear us now as we pray silently our confession of sin? God, we confess together corporately, saying, O Lord, full of mercy and grace, take away from me my sins and mercifully kindle in me the fire of your Holy Spirit. Take away from me the heart of stone. Give me a heart of flesh, a heart to love, to adore you, Lord, a heart to delight in you, to follow, to rejoice in you for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our assurance of pardon, having confessed our sins, is he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Amen. Our second scripture lesson from Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. The word of the Lord. Come now to the pastoral prayer. Would you pray with me? Join me now in prayer. Father, we come before you as a people corporately wanting to seek your will, seek your face, and wanting to please you, but also coming as a needy people. And God, we pray as you have commanded us to. We pray for our world. We pray for the leaders in this world, the leaders of other countries, that so many things are going on in this world, and the opportunity is there for them to give you glory. And God, you'll get that glory eventually. But I just pray that we'll see that now as others are leading and in how they're leading. We pray for the end of wars, God, war in Gaza, war in Ukraine. I know there are talks right now of peace talks or peace treaties, and I pray, God, that you'll bring that to fruition, make that happen. We pray for the end of violence and instability in Haiti and Syria, Northern Africa, and so many places, God, where Christians are being persecuted and others are just dealing with violence that is often so senseless. God, I pray for our nation. I pray for anybody who leads in our nation. I pray for the president, the cabinet. I pray for this government shutdown, that it wouldn't drastically affect too many lives. And God, that you would bring order there and bring peace and bring stability and help our country. Pray for other leaders, like in our state. Pray for the governor and city officials. God, I just ask that they would learn to seek your face if they don't already, and that you would be honored by how they lead, how they govern, and God, that your rules would apply. Pray, God, more locally for our denomination, the Presbyterian Church in America, that you would bless her, that you would grant that peace and that purity, God, that would be true to your word, that we would stay true to your word, and we would have the peace because we know that we're relying on you. Pray for our presbytery as well, and candidates in our presbytery. Pray for Mike, God, that you would lead him, that you would provide the right position for him, as well as the other candidates who are now seeking. And God, just ask that your will would be done in each of their lives, and we would know it. And pray for just all of the matters going on in our presbytery, God, that your hand would be upon them, and we would always be seeking your leading. Pray for our current church and the different things that we have going on, that you bless our Sunday school classes, bring us new people to learn from the education that we're trying to provide. We pray for our Spanish-speaking ministries and the ESL and God, just that you would have your hand on them and that we would recognize that, that we'd know you're leading, that you're guiding this church. Pray, God, for anything else that you would lead us to, that we would discern that, that we would certainly have our eyes open to where you're leading us as a church. And we recognize, God, that you want the gospel spread. You want the name of Jesus to be praised. And may that be something that happens through our church. Pray for church staff members. Pray for John, that this will be a nice break for him, that he'll come back rejuvenated and just ready to lead. Pray for Diana's wife and their marriage. Pray for the other leaders in the church that you would bless each of the elders and deacons and other teachers and so many people involved that volunteer for this church. Pray that we'd see the blessing of serving you and that it'd be obvious and that you would be honored through how we do what we do. We do pray, God, for those who are struggling with illness. Pray for Kathy Armstrong and the issues she's having in her back. Pray for Gene O'Dell and Ed Sellers and Becky Yu. Some with ongoing things. Judy Smith, Becky. Pray for Sherry. Pray for Darby White. Sheila Colbert, Marcia Craig. We do pray for Matthew Downing that he's recovering from his motorcycle incident. Pray for Lenore Ball. Pray for Tara Pilecki in recovery. We ask God for Denny Michael that you would just take care of him and provide what he needs and provide that miracle if that's what it takes. We do pray for those seeking employment, Logan Clapp and Glenda Williams. Pray, God, that you'll furnish the right opportunities, furnish the right job when the time comes and let it be in your time. We pray for Ken and Betty Pothoven, for each of them having had different surgeries, and particularly for Ken and the whole family, really, for the discouraging news that they got this week. But, God, we know that your hand is on all of this, so we pray for the peace that passes understanding. But at the same time, we know if you want to furnish a miracle, you can. So we ask for that. We ask that you would bless them. Pray for Melanie and Christopher Waugh and the pregnancy. Pray that things would go well and that you would help her to carry the baby to term and then have a safe delivery and they'd all be well. Pray for those who are confined in our church, Ron Quick, Pat Barden, and Aline Colley. And we pray for the missionaries that we support, Don and Leah Vanderplug, and Rodney and Jana Davila, Dave and Paige Hawes, Aldo Mondin with RUF, and we pray for that RUF ministry, God, that your name would spread and that they would grow and that it's such an important time of their lives when young people are kind of deciding whether church is still important to them, even if they grow up in it, that you would impress that upon them, impress their hearts. And we pray for SIE ATN, that you would bless him and his ministry as well. Hispaniola or in Miami or wherever you currently have him, pray that you'd bless them. But Father, we do come before you as a people seeking your face. And God, what we can do best is pray what we've been taught. And so we come before you with the words that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Excuse me a second. Where's my water? Our third scripture lesson from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The word of the Lord. Our offertory hymn is Behold the Lamb. The words are printed in your bulletin. If you would stand, let's sing. Thank you. So pray with me. Father, there is a feast of heaven. You've given us so much now, so much on earth that you've called us to be stewards of. And I pray, God, that we'll recognize you are the true owner and that we're only giving back a portion of what you've entrusted to us. But pray that we'll do that with cheerful hearts, that we as a church will use these funds wisely, that we'll grow your kingdom, and that we'll seek your will and do it as we work for it. Do pray as we're currently working on the budget for next year, that you'll bless us with wisdom there as well. So be with us now during this time of worship, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Please stand for the singing of doxology.
You may be seated. Good morning. If you have your Bibles and like to follow along, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We'll be going through verses 1 through 19 this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name and worship you this morning. We pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, that we might see wonderful things in your word. We want to see Jesus. And we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might know you more. Father, open our minds to understand the scriptures and show us your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our house, every Friday night has become known as popcorn and a movie night. And it started with a promise. One Friday afternoon, I promised our kids a special night where we would make popcorn and watch a movie together as a family. Now, we have four kids, 6 years old and under at home. And as they are always looking forward to popcorn and a movie night, they get excited towards the end of the week. You see, everyone snuggles up on the couch. They get their pillows. They get their blankets. We have our bags of popcorn. And everyone is ready to watch the movie. But because they're all so young, they don't really know what day it is. So on Fridays, I'll say to them, "Guess what today is?" They all get quiet and pay close attention. There's a brief pause, and then I'll say, "It's popcorn and a movie night." And everybody jumps for joy and gets super excited. And as the day winds down, we ask the kids to clean up their room, clean up their toys, and get ready for popcorn and a movie night. How do you think they respond? Instead of the usual grumbling and complaining about picking up their toys, they joyfully obey because their little hearts and minds are set on popcorn and a movie night. And there is no doubt in their minds that it won't happen because their daddy has promised them. And just like my kids trusted in my promise of popcorn and a movie night, Abraham trusted in the promise of his heavenly Father and had no doubt that it would come to pass. You see, God made a covenant with Abraham, which included the wonderful promise of a son, even though he was old and Sarah's womb was barren. Throughout Abraham's life, God continued to show himself faithful to his word. Abraham grew in his faith by learning to set his heart and mind on the promises of God. And in our passage today, we will see that because God is faithful to his word, his people can pass great tests of faith, answer a great question, and experience God's great provision by trusting in his promises. Which leads to our first point. Because God is faithful to his word, God's people can pass great tests of faith. Look with me now back to verses 1 and 2. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." You see, God is putting Abraham to a great test and telling him to go and offer Isaac as a burnt offering. All throughout Scripture, we see God testing his people. We see the testing of Job, David, Jonah, Daniel, and Peter, just to name a few. You see, we know that God is good, and we know that he loves his people unconditionally. So why does God test his people? What is the purpose of a test? In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31, we learn that God left Hezekiah to himself to test him and know all that was in his heart. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says this, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commands or not." See, God tests his people to reveal our hearts and our character, to humble us, all to the end that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of God and learn to trust him more and more with our lives. But see, God also tests his people to reveal his heart and his character. How does God reveal his heart and his character by testing us? Let me give you this brief illustration. While teaching my young daughter to swim, I stood in the water calling her to jump, promising that I will catch her. When she leaped into my arms, it revealed two things. One, it revealed her faith in me. And two, It revealed my faithfulness to her. In our text, God is testing Abraham's faith by commanding him to sacrifice his son. How did Abraham pass this great test of faith? By faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." See, he considered the faithfulness of God and what he was able to do. Abraham believed that even if Isaac had to be offered, God would raise him from the dead so that his promises to Abraham and to the entire world would be fulfilled and be true. Abraham faced this great test of faith and he passed. How? Because he knew and he believed that God is faithful to his word. And just like my kids believed in their daddy's character and promise, Abraham believed in God's character and God's promise. See, when you face the struggles and challenges of life, how do you respond? Like Abraham, do you consider our great and mighty God and what he is able to do? Do you believe that he can do more than we can ask, think, or imagine? Friends, the promises to Abraham are for us too. And they've all been fulfilled in Jesus. What the Old Testament looked forward to, we now get to look back on. We can look to the cross. We can look to the resurrection. We can look to Jesus and know that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. How did Jesus endure the garden? Because he knew the character of his Father. What command is God calling you to that's coming in the form of a test? Is it flee sexual immorality? Is it lay down your pride and unconditionally love your spouse? Is it to have integrity on your taxes? Is it to humble yourself and seek reconciliation in a broken relationship? What tests are you facing right now as you sit in your chair? And what is it revealing about your heart? How can we be strengthened in the tests that we are experiencing? Hebrews 4, verse 16 says this, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Friends, when you face the challenges of life, think of the challenges that Jesus faced for you. And let this be the grace that motivates you and helps you through every challenge that you experience in life. Remember his promises like Abraham did. Consider his faithfulness to his word. He fulfilled those promises in Jesus. And if he's done that, then you can trust him for any trial or test that he brings your way. This leads to our next point. Because God is faithful to his word, God's people can answer this great question. Look with me now to verses 7 and 8. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father!" And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. The theme of the entire Old Testament can be summarized in this very question: where is the lamb? This question reveals a clear understanding of God's holiness and God's justice. This question acknowledges a personal conviction of sin and a desperate need for a Savior. Question 12 of the Heidelberg Catechism asks this question: since, according to God's righteous judgment, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, how can we escape this punishment and be again received into favor? Answer: God demands that his justice be satisfied. Therefore, we must make full payment, either by ourselves or through another. Abraham understood this. Isaac understood this. Do you understand this? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? The offering God commanded was specific, very specific, and known as a burnt offering. The burnt offering was not just any offering. This was the offering for the forgiveness of sin. In the book of Leviticus, we can see God explaining the burnt offering and how it was accepted as an atonement for sin. Leviticus chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 reads, "He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord." If we look back to the beginning of Genesis and the story of Adam and Eve, we see that they deserve death for their sin and their disobedience. But because of God's grace and mercy, they were spared. God provided the animal sacrifice to die on their behalf and provided them with the covering of an animal. Genesis 3:21 says this, "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them." And clothed them. What we find in the very beginning of Scripture is the covenant of grace and how the Lord provided a substitute for sin. When Isaac asked the great question, "Where is the lamb?" Abraham answered this great question saying, "The Lord himself will provide a lamb." Adam and Eve understood God's provision of a substitute for their sin. Abraham understood God's provision for sin. Over and over again, the Old Testament asks the question, "Where is the Lamb?" And as the New Testament begins, we see John the Baptist preaching, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The message is clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you personally understand your guilt before God? If so, then you will understand the good news Abraham provides and the answer to Isaac's question in verse 8. When Abraham says, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." You see, we need to be forgiven of our sin before a holy God. And there is nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to make that happen. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul teaches us that for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Friends, this is the gospel. We need mercy. We need grace. We need a substitute. Praise God, this has been provided in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever... Wait, what? Yes, whoever... Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Which leads us to our third and final point. That we need to experience God's great provision of grace, which we see right here in this section of the text. Because God is faithful to his word, God's people can experience God's great provision. Look with me now to verses 13 and 14. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now, we've learned much about Abraham and God in this passage, but right now I'd like us to look at Isaac for just a moment. Because God provided the sacrifice, Isaac was spared. Friends, we are Isaac, the one who received the substitute. However, our substitute was not a ram, but the very Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to the cross on the very mountain where God provided the ram for Abraham and Isaac, the only one worthy of a substitute did not receive one. Jesus was not spared. Romans 8:32 tells us this: "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" God not only made provision for sin, but in Christ we are provided with identity, we are provided with meaning, we are provided with purpose. And he gives us the blessing, the amazing blessing of himself. For he is our God, and we are his people. Because of God's provision in Christ, we can glorify and enjoy him forever. I'd like to share a story with you of God's provision in my personal life. I was in the process of looking to buy a new car, and I had a $1,000 budget. I came across a 1999 Toyota Camry, had about 200,000 miles on it, and it was for sale at $1,400. I told the seller I only had a $1,000 budget and asked them if they would be willing to consider $1,000. They said they were from out of town, and the reason they were here in Florida was because their sister had just passed away, and they were now selling all of her belongings. I told them I was very sorry to hear about their sister's passing, and I asked if I could pray with them. And they just began weeping as I prayed. They then proceeded to pull out the bill of sale and asked me how much I would like to put on the bill of sale so I could save money on taxes at the DMV. Although it was very tempting, I was given grace, and I said, "No, thank you. please put the $1,000 on the bill of sale. I told them I wanted to honor God with my life and do the right thing. And I trust that God will provide everything I need for me and my family. They ended up handing me the envelope of $1,000. They pushed it over the hood of the car. And they said, "We believe that our sister would want you to have this car." See, this was a test for me. But it was also a demonstration of God's faithfulness and character and love for his child. This was a great provision, a car at no cost when I was in desperate need of one. But this provision only pointed to the greatest provision ever given by God. In the fullness of time, the promises to Abraham were fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And today we can look back and say, on the mountain of the Lord, it has been provided. It is finished. Friends, God wants us to know and understand that He is our faithful provider so that we might trust Him more and more with our lives. Do you personally know God as the Lord who provides? Do you understand the provision of God in the person and work of His Son, Jesus Christ? Have you believed and received Him by faith? This is good news and an invitation to trust God as your provider. If you're here this morning and have been trusting in your own works to be made right with God, come to Christ. Come to Christ and rest in Him and His finished work. For those resting in the finished work of Christ, this is a reminder that God has provided His Son to live and die on your behalf so that you might become the righteousness of God, forgiven of all your sins, and be reconciled to God through faith. Jesus obeyed the law of God perfectly on our behalf because we never could. Jesus suffered and died on the cross for us. And Jesus rose from the dead, proving He is the Lamb of God, God's one and only Son, who came into the world to save sinners. Now remember how my kids looked forward with certainty to popcorn and a movie night because their daddy made a promise to them? You see, that's how Abraham lived his life. He knew God's character. He considered God's faithfulness. Romans 4:21 tells us this. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised. Therefore, he lived his life standing on the promises of God. And he was looking forward to that promise. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10 tell us that one day, that great multitude promised to Abraham in the beginning, which no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, will stand before the throne and before the Lamb clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Because God is faithful to His Word, that promise has been fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And just as He came the first time to make atonement for our sins, He will come again to make all things new. So as you face tests and challenges in your life, I pray that you would develop a deep trust and a firm faith in Christ and live your life standing on the promises of God who provides and is faithful to His Word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Jesus, for sending Your only Son for us, for Your gracious provision, love, and care for your people. Help us to take the truths of Scripture and apply them to our lives so that we might know you more and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's respond by singing. If you take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 688, let's stand and sing. Receive now the benediction from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.